Take control of your tarp and upgrade your manual tarp system to electric with a Roltec electric tarp conversion by AgriCover Inc. Save time and increase productivity by tarping on the go. This system operates with the convenient push of a button, keeping your driver inside the cab and out of dust, rain, and harm's way. Upgrade your existing tarp to electric today to stay protected, clean, and on schedule. For more information or to find a dealer near you, call 800-233-4655 or visit RoltecElectric.com.
Welcome back, Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr, North Dakota Corn Council Studio. As promised, Mike Kruger, compliments of Richland IFC. Mike, once again, I apologize for getting you on the radio on a day in the markets like this one.
Well, the funny thing was the Sunday night session started higher. I read some commentary late Sundays, and ADM Investor Services, who was a company when I was working every day, we used to trade with, their Sunday comment was lower, period. And then, of course, we opened up with big gains in wheat and smaller gains in corn and beans. But this morning at 8:30, everything was, you know, getting hit pretty hard again, and that's the way it was pretty much all day. And of course, I think the one thing that's created the uncertainty, even though I'm beginning to think it's maybe a little overstated, this Omicron variant of COVID over the weekend. You know, some people were saying, well, yeah, the symptoms may not be as tough, but we don't know a lot about it yet. And everybody's shutting down travel, so that spooked the markets. Lots of good news. I think it's going to be a pretty active week. And I suspect that unless there's really bad news on this Omicron variant, I think these markets will maybe have a pretty good week going forward.
All right. Well, the stock market is kind of telling us that will probably happen. They were down 1,000, but already recovering 3,500.
Yeah, you know, and remember the grain markets did rally a little bit off their lows last Friday, especially the Minneapolis market. ABARE, the Australian Crop Forecasting Group, came out and said Australia is going to have a record crop today, which is no surprise. But they also said 30% is probably feed quality on the eastern side. And the folks I talked to think it's a way bigger percentage than that because it hasn't quite stopped raining yet. So, I mean, another case among the major wheat exporters where, you know, we have small crops here because of drought. They had a huge crop coming and harvested, but they say that a lot of that's not even good enough for feed. We'll see how that plays out. And then Friday morning, this coming Friday, Stats Canada gives us their supposedly final Canadian production numbers. And most people seem to believe they're going to trim back their wheat and canola production estimates a little bit. We'll see how that works out. And also, I think in the positive side, you know, ethanol and soybean processing margins are really, really, really big. So we had another huge week in ethanol processing a week ago. They're running at almost max capacity. And last week's weekly export sales number for corn was the biggest so far this marketing year. So we're starting to see a little bit of traction in exports, and that's really what we need to see.
Yeah, well, let's not let one down day dog us too bad. So.
Right, exactly.
Obviously, the world's going to need high-quality spring wheat, but obviously next year the Pacific Rim countries are going to want food-grade soybeans. So let's talk about Richland IFC for a moment.
Well, you're exactly right about the increase in demand for food-grade soybeans. A week or two ago, I was on a webinar put on by NDSU's Northern Crops Institute the Northern Crops Institute located at NDSU that was specifically designed for food-grade soybean importers. The demand continues to grow. North Asia, particularly Japan, has always been the biggest market. But now people on this call were from the Philippines and Indonesia and Thailand. So it's expanding. Like 70% of the food-grade soybeans that go to the Pacific region come right out of this Red River Valley area, the Dakotas, and western Minnesota. Richland IFC has been in this game for almost 30 years now. They're a pioneer. They have their own seed genetics, their own varieties. They match those genetics to their overseas buyers. These contracts are production contracts, like act of God contracts. If you have an awful crop like some people did this year, you're only obligated to deliver what you produce. Big premiums, $4 to $6, depending on what variety of food-grade soybeans you raise, and that premium is over the futures. So you can put another buck on that because typically our local basis is a dollar under the future. So lots of reasons that I think people should give Jake a call at Richland IFC at 218-643-1797.
And, of course, Richland IFC sponsors our weekly visits with Mike Kruger. And we say thanks. We'll mention that phone number here again. So you mentioned ethanol. the profit, the margins for ethanol producers is good. They're making money. And as ethanol goes, so, and the local ethanol plant, as that goes, so goes the corn market. I mean, basis is incredible.
Basis is very good. I think it's going to get stronger. You know, unless we see a really steep and sudden decline in crude oil and energy prices, which no one I talk to believes that's going to happen, these margins will stay very good, I'm told. And every plant's different, but I've been told over the last several days that ethanol margins at some locations are as much as 80 cents a bushel or more. I mean, maybe we've been that high, but it hasn't been very often. So every kind of incentive out there to continue to grind corn and ethanol, even though, interestingly, you know, corn prices aren't really very cheap. And we're seeing similar things on the soybean side. Good soybean crushing margins. No reason that any downtime should be happening either one of those industries. So I think that's all good news. And the other good news, I think, well, for wheat farmers, not good news for producers in the Southern Plains, but it's dry down there. And I just in what I'm sending out to people today, the 6 to 10 and 8 to 14 precipitation and temperature forecast, boy, it's dry. So I think that's maybe going to be in the backs of people's minds as we get a little bit farther down the road. So, you know, even though we're getting kind of beaten up, got kind of beaten up today, I think it's COVID-related. I think it's people kind of running for cover just because of the uncertainty. I'm still pretty optimistic on these markets.
Yeah, I'm optimistic on this winter weather. I like it a lot so far, anyway.
Exactly.
The Old Farmer's Almanac predicted cold and snowy, and so far it's not been that way. I guess if we're going to have a warm, dry 6 months like we had last summer, let's have it again this winter. But winter is going to arrive eventually, probably with a vengeance. Huh?
Well, I still think, you know, the La Nina pattern isn't going away. It may be strengthening some. That kind of typically means drier Argentina, southern Brazil, but it also, I think, can mean a little more active winter up here, maybe a little colder, maybe a little more blustery, maybe hopefully more snowfall. We certainly could need whatever kind of moisture we can get.
For sure. All right, Mike, so we still have 570 corn, $12.50 soybeans, and $10 spring wheat. I mean, these are good prices, yep. But the bin doors appear to be locked. Should farmers start selling something?
Well, I mean, I think that farmers should be at least half sold on all three of the crops, the major ones, corn, soybeans, and wheat. I mean, I'm still optimistic wheat. If people were going to say rank your crops over, you know, bullish to bearish, wheat would still be the one I think has the most bullish potential. Corn would be two. Soybeans are probably a distant third. It all depends on China's buying pace plus weather in South America. Everybody believes that in the January final, soybean numbers are probably going to increase ending stocks again. Not that soybeans are bearish, but I just don't think that they could go very far without some kind of a major issue happening down in both Brazil and Argentina. And like I said, La Nina typically can mean drier in southern Brazil and Argentina, and that has been the pattern so far. It's just too early. They're just finishing planting down there.
Yeah, all right. Well, good soybean prices mean good soybean, food-grade soybean prices to come. So, again, how do guys get a hold of Richland IFC?
So they need to call Jake at Richland IFC, and his number is 218-643-1797. So today, November of 2022, soybeans are right around $12.30. You add $4 to $6 on top of that, depending on which of the food-grade varieties you want to contract. You're talking about $16, $17, $18 soybeans in the fall of 2022.
That's some pretty good prices for sure. A couple of years ago.
Bad.
Yeah, compared to 2 years ago.
You're right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we haven't been this high in 6 or 7 years. So I just think that food-grade soybeans, they're not an anomaly anymore. They've been around for 25, 30 years. So Richland knows how to raise them. They've got their own seed. They can answer any questions you might have.
Gotcha. Mike Krueger, thank you very much. Have a good rest of the week.
Thanks, Mick.
You bet. We'll talk to you later.